listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fact to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution. I am Sean Mulroney. Yes, you heard that right. You know where to follow me. I am Sean Mulroney. That's why I say it every week, so it gets drilled and embedded into your head so you can follow me. And I love the fact that people that you're following me, the encouragement. I love getting the encouragement through the week. You know, it's been sort of a hard time these last probably 5 months, but hey, things don't happen to us. They happen for us. And, you know, going through rehab, I'm doing really good. My walking's getting back, my standing. So I'm barreling through it and fighting through it. But, you know, it's, you know, you're not a quitter till you quit. And you're not a quitter till you say, nope, I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's what adversity is. Adversity either makes us or breaks us. And I know it's not easy, you that are battling anything weight loss, but even just obesity. You know, weight loss, you know, diet, exercise is just one part of battling obesity. It's the mental part. It's the mental health part. It's the, you know, the trauma part. All these things, it's not as simple as everybody makes it out to be, but guess what? That's why we at the Obesity Revolution have the four pillars. And before I say them, I say them every week, but you know, if you all would just think and pray for Tom, our producer. He's had COVID for about 2 weeks. That's why he hasn't been on. And of course, Carrie battled the COVID. Now Tom and their whole house has COVID. So it's he got it bad in his chest and everything. So that's why he hasn't been on. So just think of him and pray for him. If you would, that would mean a lot to me. And I know it mean a lot to him too. But, you know, our four pillars that we are here. And, you know, the Obesity Revolution, it's a movement. It's too big to ignore. You heard that right. Too big to ignore. And the four pillars that we have is, number one, we want to identify the problem. And there's a lot of problems dealing with obesity. And not only do we want to identify, education. You know, doctors, society need to be educated on what they can do and what they're not doing to help individuals like myself. And not only do we want to do that, we want to inspire people. And I don't care what anybody says, you don't have to be perfect to inspire people. Just show people how you deal with your imperfections. And lastly, execute. That's all you got to do, is that you hear all these things, that it's one thing to know, it's another thing to apply it. And so that's what we're doing. That's what we're going about and helping everybody we can. And you know that, reach out to us at theobesityrevolution.com. If you need anything directly, go to the office or office at theobesityrevolution.com. And hey, don't forget my book. We're getting ready to launch at big time. So Becoming Larger Than Life, Addressing the Elephant in the Room is coming down the pike. So I'm pretty excited about that. We got some other things. Our app is getting ready to launch as well. So guess what, man? It's about changing lives. It's about getting the tools and the resources that you need in order to fight your way through this battle. And it is a battle. I wouldn't wish this battle on anybody, especially lymphedema. Having lymphedema, having obesity, you have two weight losses. You got a fat weight loss and you got a water weight loss. And you can't get rid of the fat until you get rid of the water, because the water is what protects us. Our lymphatic system is what protects our system and our immune system. So we got to fight these battles, and that's why we need education. That's why it's all about that. But without any further ado, I want to introduce our guest tonight. I am looking forward to having this man on. I was just on his podcast. We'll talk more about that. And you can listen to it, just I think dropped today. And I'm excited about that. But Brett Yoe is a husband, a dad, engineer, and podcaster. He lost over 200 pounds at his peak before experiencing some regain. He wasn't doing right, was he? I mean, everybody wants to criticize that. You don't know. If you've never been in somebody's shoes, you don't get it. Don't criticize. But he said he will never quit, and he will do whatever it takes to reach his goals. That's what I'm talking about. Brett Yoe, welcome to the Obesity Revolution Podcast. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing pretty good. It's a Monday night, just getting ready to get ready
you
for
get
Tuesday.
Ready for Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday's coming quick, isn't it? It's going to be Tuesday there before it's Tuesday here, though. So you'll already be in Tuesday before I will. So because you're East Coast time, right? So I lived in East Coast time. I'm from Pittsburgh, so I know what the East Coast is all about. So. But then living in the Midwest, it's a little bit different central time. And I don't even understand why they have different time things, Brett. I mean, are they just there to confuse us? I mean,
I think it's people take, it's more easy to understand what time it is based off the sun than the actual, if you use like universal time. Ooh. Where we'd be like, you know, if we use the universal, we'd be like 4 hours later than England. Right. So right now in England, it's like 2 a.m. Yep. So it would be 2 a.m. or 3 a.m.
Well,
or whatever.
That's why,
and it'd just be, that'd be the
that's
time.
Why you're an engineer, right? I mean, I'm just like, I'm getting into this. I'm like talking about this, and all of a sudden Brett goes into this thing and just like made my brain just shrink. Like, I'm like, man, thanks, Brett, for just giving me that engineering mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm a de-engineer. That's what I am. So if I can de-engineer, yes. So I can break things. You know what I'm saying? I can't engineer nothing.
Well, that's the thing about being an engineer is you have to learn how to break it so you can make it work the right
you
way.
Got this. So you don't ever run out of jobs, right? Huh? Is that right? Huh?
Sure. Yeah. You don't want to run out of work.
No, you can't.
Right?
You're in demand. Oh, how did this get broke? I have no idea. But I want me to fix it. Oh yeah, go ahead, fix that. What kind of engineer are you? What?
I work in like technology, so I'm a systems engineer.
Wow, systems engineer, man.
Yeah.
How long do you have to go to college for that? 4 years or more?
I have a master's degree, but initially only a bachelor's. Yeah. But then I got my master's after I was.
Do you enjoy it?
Do you? It's always changing, so it's always like new stuff coming down that we have to work on.
Yeah.
Just a lot of moving parts. So there's always the new technologies, sure. New, anytime you hear about a hack out in the news or there's like some vulnerability that's like big.
Yeah.
News,
yeah.
Anytime that stuff happens, like it means that we're working hard too, cause we have to make sure all these systems get patched and things like that. So then it's a lot of, that also adds to the workload of the normal schedule.
Brett, my hat's off to you, man. I'm glad you do that stuff because, I mean, I barely got out of high school with pre-algebra. And here's the thing, not that I'm stupid, I'm not saying that. I just never applied myself, you know what I'm saying? I never pushed myself as far as school. Now, other things I have a knack for, you know what I'm saying? Seeing things and doing that. But school, man, and me were enemies. I mean, I
was similar.
Really?
I didn't go. So I after high school, I mean, I got into Penn State and then
Penn State.
I left. Yeah, I didn't after my like my first semester, I took a break for a while and I didn't graduate till I was like 27, 28.
Really?
Before I graduated.
Wow.
And got into it. So I was, you know, working other things and then realized that I wanted to go back for my degree. Cause
that's amazing.
I knew that would help me a lot more and get me where it was like goal setting.
And you matured,
right?
Too.
Got me where I wanted to
go.
Well,
it was like a maturing aspect also.
Yeah. And also when you're in college and you go back. So I went back to Penn State when I was like 25. Yeah. So I was there at 25 taking classes with like 18, 19-year-olds. So perspective had changed. Yeah,
just a little bit.
My perspective was a lot different than someone right
now.
Right,
you're
school.
Like, you're going there, you know, you have a family at this time, and you're like, okay, now It's like, who cares about anything else? And in college, I'm going to do this and get out of here. And so, mm-hmm.
yeah, and people are like, well, Penn State's a big party school, but I didn't go to the Penn State main campus, so I went to like a Penn State has like 26 or some so
yeah.
feeder
satellite schools.
They're all Penn State campuses, right. but they're in like different counties. Sure. So I just went to one in my hometown. So it was
what
like
hometown? We're at Penn commute. State. What?
I went to Penn State Berks, which is outside of Reading.
Oh yeah, so you're from Pennsylvania too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
originally, yeah.
So Reading, Pennsylvania, right? I mean, so you're not that far from like Scranton and stuff like that?
Yeah, probably like an hour,
yeah,
hour and a half
right.
from Scranton.
Yeah, so you're...
Probably an hour
and a half.
Half,
yeah. How far from like Philly?
What? About an hour. Depending on traffic, hour.
In Hershey, 15. PA?
Hershey's like 40 minutes. So, I mean, now I don't live there. So this is all like grown up. Now I'm in, you know, I'm in between Baltimore and D.C.
Yeah,
so
right. Baltimore.
I'm like an hour and a half, probably 2 hours from Hershey.
Hour and a half. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So you're in the Baltimore area, huh? Maryland.
Yeah.
Maryland. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Maryland.
How far from Ocean City?
Oh, that's,
2 hours. Yeah.
I haven't gone to Ocean City in quite some
yeah,
time.
Yeah, we used to go all the time. We used to go every summer to Ocean mm-hmm. City, Maryland. So my dad actually wrecked our camper. He was going under a bridge and, you know, an underpass. And mm-hmm. it was actually overpass. And we were too big for it and crushed the whole corner of it.
Oh man!
Yeah, we had to patch it up, and it rained that night too. So we like had like 15 or 20 plastic garbage bags covering it. So that was not fun. I mean, at Ocean, yeah, that's Ocean City for me. And I ran away from a clown. I have a terrible fear of clowns. I ran all the way back by myself. I was like 7 years old, Brett, and I just stopped. I left my family, my brothers and sisters. I ran back to the camper. I found the camper on my own and stayed there till the clown was gone. So, yes.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I haven't been, I'm trying to remember. I worked in Ocean City for like a weekend.
Really?
Once, like, but that was like 2005. One of the jobs in before I went back to college. Was as I'm working in a movie theater and chain, and I went down there to be a projectionist for a weekend because they were short-staffed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was like I think that was the last time I was there. Just because I'm not a beach person, so I never really care that much about going to Ocean City. I'm much more like, let's go see what else there is to do other than the beach. Just always, like, and if I go to a beach, it's usually I try to go to a beach that has a lot of stuff to do, like has a nice boardwalk and other amenities.
Right.
Like going to the Outer Banks is pretty useless for me because there's nothing else to do.
I know you're there
unless I just want to relax.
Exactly, but no, you want to do other things whenever you're there. Mm-hmm. Just don't go to the beach. That's it. The beach, yeah. I get it. I'm not a beach boy either. So, you know, they say they wish all the girls can be California girls, the beach boys. So guess what? That's not me. So it's just not what I am. But Brett, here's the thing. I mean, I'm thank you for being on, but you know, you've been on a weight loss journey. So tell us how, you know, it started. What was, you know, the turning, what was the epiphany, and what got you to where it is, and what was your highest weight?
Okay, so the epiphany, I don't know if I ever had an epiphany so much. So, because I always knew I needed to lose weight. And I always thought it was, like, impossible, because it's a lot of weight, especially when you're, like, I had been probably over 400 pounds since I was, like, 20. I don't even know when I hit 400.
Sure.
So when I learned my highest weight was the same day I had what might be an epiphany. December 30th, 2016, I had a pulmonary embolism like in my sleep.
Wow.
And I woke up and I literally walked like, I don't know, maybe 100 feet to my bathroom. And I was like panting, gasping for air. And so then I went to, an urgent care if I can talk.
That's easy for you to say.
yeah, easy for me to say, right? So I went to urgent care, and then they were like, you should probably go to the hospital. And they're like, you want to get an ambulance? I'm like, no, I'll drive. And so I drove over to the hospital. I went in the emergency room. And they didn't know right away what it was, but, you know, they weighed me. And it was 623, which is my highest recorded. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I might have been heavier. Sure. I don't really know. And they put me on heparin right away.
Yeah, blood thinner.
And then, but they didn't have like any machines they could put me on because they didn't know what was wrong. So they were just doing other things to help. And they noticed that my leg was swollen because that's where I had a blood clot. I didn't know that then. Blood clot had traveled up to off of my heart somewhere. Well, I don't know what you call it, but it was a minor area of my heart. Like it was a minor, it just luckily it went to a minor area. So it didn't cause any major damage. It went away through blood thinners over.
Because that could have been, that would have been deadly.
I've seen studies that say between, depending which one you read, it says 40% or 60%, somewhere in that range of people don't survive.
Really?
PEs. Wow. So, and I know of healthy people like marathon runners and active people that get them and they die. There's no, it's not an obese killer.
There's no respecter of persons.
I mean, one of my cousins had it about a year after I did, she's pretty fit. And then I have other relatives that have had it as well. I mean, it's ironic. My grandfather, about 2 years after I had it, he had it. I mean, not 2 years, but a year. And he had it. And so, cause then people would ask me if it runs in the, if it was something that was genetic
in
my family. I was like, yeah, I said, well, I'm the first one that had it. And then my grandfather had it after me. but
it runs backwards. It's like a little, it runs backwards.
Yeah, it ran backwards. Right. But yeah, so that was like the big thing. So that was 2016, end of 2016. So beginning 2017, I was off from work for like 2 weeks cause of this. I was in the hospital for about a week. And then I took another week just to collect myself kind of thing. And over the course of the first week in the hospital, I lost like 50 pounds because of the diet I was on. And then I kind of maintained that for a while. And kind of yo-yoed. Like I'd get down, because I was 623, so I probably was like between 570, 560, 580. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of yo-yoed for like a year and a half. And then July 2018... I got on the scale. I had one of those 700-pound scales. I still do. One of the 700-pound scales. And I weighed in at like 615. And then that was the when I decided to make a change. That was like my real like start. Sure. I count that day. So that day was the day I saw it on the scale. But the day I actually started was like July 15th of 2018. And I went on like I did this like UK-based Weight Watchers. Because this guy I saw on Instagram, his name is Jack Towers. He doesn't have an Instagram anymore, but he was like 450, 480, something like that. And I don't know what he was in stone, so I'm guessing. And he lost like 200 pounds on this, like, it was called, I'm blanking on the name now. I can't think of it. Anyway, it was a UK-based Weight Watchers, Slimming World. That's what it was. And so I did that and I lost 100 pounds in like 8 months. And it basically was you don't track like the calories or anything or macros. You just track like, hey, like they gave you like points for everything. Yeah. So if you had like a bag, 100 calorie bag of popcorn was five, what they called sins, S-Y-N-S. Mm-hmm. And so like for me at my size, I got 25 sins a day. So I would have
for
like
sins.
It would be
like S-I-N-S.
For sins.
S-Y-N-S. Oh, okay. I'm like, man, you got.
I don't really know what that had to do with. I don't know why that was a thing, but it made it easy because it was like kind of like a math. It was kind of a math game with it because I'd be like, all right, so that's like five sins. Like a Snickers bar was like 15. Two Reese's cups was like 10, or whatever. I figure out like what I could have. And I made it work, and I, you know, within 8 months, lost 100 pounds. And then, so now we're talking like March of 2019. At that time, so one thing I didn't mention, which we talked about in my podcast, was I had this like growth that hung below my stomach. It was from when my lymphatic system got damaged, which you mentioned lymphatic system earlier. Lymphedema. So I had some lymphedema. I didn't have a ton, but I had this, like, they called it a globule.
Yeah.
Which was like, I know you're seeing me, which is like, it was like this big, right? And it would, so like bigger than a football, filled with fat and fluid. And it just swung every time I walked. And so at 600 pounds, it felt different than it did at 500 pounds. And so at 500 pounds, it was starting to get heavier and it was starting to become more of an inconvenience. So I went to, through my doctor, I got a referral to like a plastic surgeon who I met with, and he said that he could remove it surgically because I lost so much weight. I could now be cleared to have that surgery. Right.
Right.
So, I met with him in June of 2019 and I had the surgery in October, about a week after my birthday. And, leading up to the surgery, so I knew I had this surgery. I was like, well, if I have this surgery, they're going to take like some of my lymphedema in my stomach away. They're going to take this away. So I'm like, I'll lose some. So I kind of got into my headspace where I was like, I'll just like kind of coast for the summer.
Right,
right. I didn't gain anything. Like I kind of just yo-yoed around the same 10, 15 pounds all summer. And then I remember I went to New York for my birthday. Ironically, that was the last time I shaved before this week.
That's right.
Yeah, it was purely accidental. I literally had the guide in my hand and the razor in the other, and I just went and went, and I was like, oh, well, this is too late now, so I shaved it. Yeah. But anyway, so I had the surgery, and I went into the surgery. I think it was like 5'10 or 5'05. I don't remember. And I came out of the surgery, I was 460 because of all the fluid and fat that got removed. And it took me, and I basically had like it's called a paniculectomy, which was
it's right on your penis.
People call it,
it's on your stomach. What's on that? Your stomach.
Yeah, it's on the stomach.
Your penis.
So they call it he called it paniculectomy because that's where the scar is. It wasn't really to do a normal paniculectomy. It was just to remove that globule.
Right.
And he also took some of my excess stomach lymphedema away because he was already there. And I was fine with that. I actually thought he was going to take more of my stomach away than he did, but you know. We can always dream, right?
Hey, take all. It's just here. You can have it. It's free.
Yeah. Take as much as you
want.
I'm
going to go to Sotobello, you know? So,
So I had the paniculectomy, and which for people that don't know, it's kind of like they call it like a male C-section for men to have it. And it's like a hip-to-hip scar, which is, my wife had a C-section this past year, and her scar is much smaller than mine. But,
man, that's compared to scars. Yeah. What Brett did, Brett had a baby too, so.
Yeah. but yeah, so I had this and it took me like, and then I got down to 460. I was at 460 when I was in the hospital. And then after I was in the hospital for like a week, went home, and then it was October. And then, so October is Halloween time. So we had Halloween candy in the house. So all recovery, I'm like snacking on Halloween candy, and then it's the holidays. And by January of 2020, I was back up to like 495. Mm-hmm. So this is like my story of gain of like loss and then regain. Right. So I decided, I was like, all right, well, that's enough of that. Cause I was like, I do not want to see that 5 in front of my scale.
I didn't.
So I just kind of started light, and I mean, 2020, you know, became what
exactly.
It became. But, I kind of lost slowly. Like, so in February I was like 480s, March 470s. And then we had the pandemic, and then I was off work. So I just, like, after a few weeks of, like, hanging out and being like, oh, this is a nice vacation, and I get to watch the Avengers. I literally watched the Avengers in order on my TV. Yeah. And then I was like, all right, I got to do something besides this because this is getting boring. So I just was like, I'm just not going to let this time go to waste. And I decided to use the time. So I just started, like, walking every day. Like, and I'm not like, so originally my like Fitbit said like 7,000 steps a day. So I started with that, and then I was doing really well, and I was doing 10,000. So this was like this is like April timeframe, I guess. And then in May, I went back to work right at the end of May. And the one I had done 20 some days straight of doing the 10,000 steps. And then like that Friday I went back to work and I didn't get my steps. And the next day I was like so pissed off at myself that I was like, all right. So I got back on track. So I started doing 10,000 again. And it was like right at the end of the month. So I was like, you know what, for June. So I calculated, obviously. So I did 10,000 steps times 30 days is 300,000 steps. So I decided that I'm going to make a goal for 300,000 steps in June.
Wow.
That's what I want to do, yeah. Right? So it's like, even if I don't hit 10,000 every day, I can at least...
That's a good goal.
I can at least get that many steps, right? So I went into June and I did get 10,000 every day. So I think I wound up like 420,000 steps.
Wow,
in June.
That's awesome, Brett.
Yeah, incredible. And then in July, and I was like, thank you. And then I was like, July, I'm gonna try to up it. So I did like 450. I didn't go above. I didn't get to 500 ever, but but you know, I did have an extra day in July, so it helped. but you know, this being said, that whole, so I started this like walking every day. So from like end of May until December 7th, I didn't miss a day of 10,000. Even like on vacation,
really?
Like I was walking around circles in a hotel lobby in Seattle because I wanted to get my steps. I was finding ways to get it done. Kind of my mantra of whatever it takes. I've co-opted from the Imagine Dragons.
Whatever it takes.
I used to use their music in my stories, yes, all the time. And you know, it was something that was important because it gave me like a structure. It also gave me like time. So I found that I really enjoyed the walk because I don't enjoy treadmills, so I don't do that. I was doing outdoor walks.
Yeah.
And I found that like it gave me time to myself. Like I just kind of had myself. Like I think I'd listen to podcasts and music, but I'd also just like contemplate things and like it's kind of almost like meditation in a way. And then, you know, as I'm walking, like people would see me and they'd be like, oh, you look really good and blah, blah, blah. Like people I never talked to before in my life.
Yeah.
And it was in my neighborhood. It wasn't even like, it wasn't that far away.
Right,
like
right,
it wasn't like
right.
I walked into downtown Baltimore and did this. But so anyway, so I was like 495 in the beginning of January, and by August 29th, I think it was August 30th, I had gotten down to losing the 200 pounds total. So I got down to like 415 was the number I used because I used 615 as my start from when I started in July of 2018. So I hit like 200 down, and like that was a big number because I was like, when I hit it, I was so happy. My problem was that like kind of towards the end of it, of getting to that number, I was not dieting the proper way. I was cutting a lot. Because I wanted to hit the number.
Right.
And so that kind of messed me up a little bit, and I just kind of stagnated for a while after that. But hitting the 200 down was like a huge day for me because I was so proud.
That's a milestone.
I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still had probably another 200 to go, but at least 150. But, you know, hitting that 200, I was like, all right, I actually did like something that I didn't think was possible.
That's good.
Like, I really didn't think it was ever possible.
That's great.
And it's just one of those things that you can prove to yourself what you can do. And, you know, it was one of those things where also, like, I told myself I wasn't going to do a podcast, so I hit 300 down, which clearly I broke my rule because I started my own podcast. And then, but I also started doing podcasts. And when I hit 200, I decided that I was going to start doing that. And really, it's kind of silly to have that kind of a rule.
I know.
Whatever. But it just was something that it was kind of also a goal in a way. So that way I was setting that goal where I had a number I wanted to hit before I really, quote unquote, rewarded myself. But yeah, so
and
let me see.
Them struggles. So, you there was a lot of struggles. I mean, you went through a lot of adversity, okay? It was like, okay, here I am. You get down to that 200-pound mark. Now, how about the maintenance? You know, what sets you apart not to go back, or even some of the pitfalls that you found out, the struggles, the pitfalls, and the maintenance? Where is that all? I mean, how do you explain that?
So, for about a year, I didn't gain anything. Like I kind of stayed in the same ballpark. Within 15, 20 pounds when I hit the 200 so that total 2021 fall. Mostly it was, I just kind of stayed on course with like, I knew what I shouldn't have. I knew what I could have. I mean, you can have whatever you want. make decisions. But I kind of just stayed with like, all right, I'll treat myself occasionally. I'll kind of carb cycle. I'll just try to not eat too many carbs, like compared to what I used to.
Right.
It was mostly just like kind of like what people always like to bash is the mindful eating.
Right.
Now that worked for a while, and I also use like my MyFitnessPal or my Fitbit app to track my calories and such. But then after, you know, I've been on the journey for like 3.5 years now, and at a certain point in the fall, I don't know what it was. I just kind of got tired of it. And I just kind of let it go a little bit. And I wound up gaining about 50 pounds. So I'm like currently like down like 160-ish from my highest. Yeah. But, you know, I gained that because I started having like, I go to Cheesecake Factory and get cheesecake. And then I'd go and, you know, go to movie theater and get popcorn. And I go to, like, I just make a lot of decisions that, of food that I shouldn't, that I knew were not great for me. But I just did it. It's not something I wanted to do, but it's you try to be better as you can be. But nobody's perfect. Nobody is able to, like, you know, and a lot of it too is there's a lot of people don't want to say, well, you know, it's not just because they advertise that is why you go there. But, you know, a lot of times you see advertisements and it does go in the back of your head. So when you see like a fast food that you want, or you see a place that you want to get something from, like, I know, like, when I drop my daughter off at daycare, there's Dunkin' Donuts right near the daycare. And a lot of times I just want to stop. So I started going there. And this is part of when I noticed it was I started going to Dunkin' Donuts some, and I get like, you know, munchkins, or I get like two donuts or whatever. And it just was a slow slide, but it happened within a few months. And I try not to beat myself up about it, because we have enough other things to beat ourselves up about every
all
day.
The time. Yep.
But, you know, it's frustrating in a way, but it's also part of the journey. And I really hate the process. I hate the term love the process or trust the process, because the Sixers did that. I'm a Sixers fan, so I hate it.
Yeah. Sixers but, Philadelphia, huh? Yeah. Allen Iverson today.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, while I don't like that phrase, that is part of it. It's the process. So you got to just figure out what'll work for you and what doesn't. And sometimes it's eliminating foods, and sometimes it's just like having it in smaller portions and trying to just stay on track. And
what about even accepting yourself? Like, how have you done with that? Like, most of us that struggle with obesity have a hard time. We have especially if we've had a bad past, you know what I'm saying? If we've suffered maybe abuse or abandonment or some kind of trauma in our lives, then how did you deal with beating yourself up? Did you do that whenever you'd make a mistake? And if you did what helped you get over that?
So I don't beat myself up too much, because I've kind of been in the mindset where I'm doing this for myself, for me, and I'm doing this at my own pace, because nobody's,
you're not comparing.
There's no clock.
You're not comparing to anybody.
There's no clock.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely am comparing myself to others, because I've done it along the way, but I like to say that there's no clock, because, you know, in a lot of times, anybody's a basketball fan, you know, there's a shot clock and you have 24 seconds to make the shot.
Right.
Well, I didn't have to lose 300 pounds in 24 months. I didn't have to lose 100 pounds in 24 months. Like, it's my own pace. I have a number I want to hit by a certain point, like by the time I turn 40, which is in a couple years, but actually year and a half. But, you know, it's so tough when you constantly see things out in social media, because you see people, it's either the combination of like people talking about their successes.
Yep.
It's the people that are trying to sell you something, whether it's like coaching or it's, of course, I offer coaching on my website, but it's the coaching, or it's the like herbal teas or the wraps or the whatever. And this is going to make you lose Yeah, you know, 20 right. pounds in a month.
Sure it is.
Or you know, it's just, it's a lot of things that just weigh on you that you're like, I just wish like I could get this done faster. But at the same time, I know that if I do it fast, it might not be the right way. So I need to do it the right way for me. And it's really just trying to be patient and
right.
a lot of times give myself grace as
good.
Well. So like I told good. You, I gained like 50 pounds in September, October timeframe. And I don't beat myself up about good. It. It doesn't help me to beat myself up because it's just going to make me more depressed. It'll probably make me more depressed.
It will
about
push
it,
you further away which too.
Which will then lead me to wanting exactly. to binge whatever.
Right.
And that's not going to help anybody.
Are
so
you a binge eater?
I don't.
Are you a binge eater?
I can. Be,
how about yeah. you? Do you feel that you were addicted to food?
Yeah. Yeah. Because food was there at times when I needed comfort because when I was growing up, I didn't really have like a lot of friends. So it was, you know, I turned to food a lot when I had emotions that I didn't know how to deal with. And you know, it's, you know, so it's funny cause, I had my 20th high school reunion mm-hmm. coming up this year and I was talking to my wife about it and I was like, and she, and I got invited to a Facebook group for it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and she's like, are you going to go? I'm like, hell no. and she's like, well, why not? I was like, I didn't like these. Can you swear on this?
Yeah. You're...
Okay. I just want to make sure. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to cross that line. I was like, I didn't like these fucks 20 years ago. Why would I go now? And it was like one of those things where I never really felt accepted.
Right.
So that doesn't mean anything to me
right.
anymore. And that's kind of like, after I got over that, it took me some of my 20s to get mm-hmm. over that. Cause like to get more open and being more like approachable and being like more of an, like wanting to have friends and wanting to like connect with people. And like now, you know, I talk to a lot of people on social media, so it's a lot different than it was then, but you know, it was tough and growing up in, you know, pre-internet or even during internet, during the infancy of the internet. Right. And you had a lot of, you know, you had a lot of judgment on being fat. So, I mean, I was in my 300s in high school and I didn't play football. They tried to get me to play football, but I refused because I didn't want to get hurt. I really didn't want to get injured.
Sure.
Like, I was like, if I'm 300 pounds, I break my leg.
That's going to really be bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was not, because, you know, at 300 pounds, what do they want me to do? They want me to be an alignment.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be a block. That's what I play. I played offense and defensive line in high school. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
Yeah. So it was, you know, I feel like, I feel like the biggest keys are like to know who you are and like know
that's
what you value.
Good. Yes. I agree.
And, I mean, if you don't know who you are, then you better figure it
you
out.
You have to. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like the biggest part for me is like I know who I am. I know what I like to do. I know who's important to me, especially like whenever you, have friends that actually like, cause usually if you're the guy that makes all the plans and then all of a sudden somebody like reaches out to you to hang out or do something and you're like, this is new. This is nice. And it's nice to have that reciprocation. Mm-hmm. So like, you don't want to be the person that's constantly the one making plans.
Right.
You want to have someone be like, hey, you want to do mm-hmm. this? Hey, you want to do that? And then, you know, you have like a true friendship or you have like people that care about you or, you know, and you move and people are like, hey, do you need any help moving? Maybe you don't, but it's nice to have that like person. There's people that want to help you. Even if you don't ask for it.
Yeah, that's good.
So
I like that.
And that's tough to find sometimes.
It is.
You know,
because
people get it. People also get insulated in their own stuff. So you never know.
Right.
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 Life's not easy for
you. And
anybody.
There's no one size fits all. That's the big thing. I mean, what works for you might not work for me. And, you know, that's what I had. I mean, I had a battle. I was, you know, just in rehab in a hospital for 15 weeks, right? Well, when I went into the hospital, 20 weeks ago, I gained 200 pounds overnight. I lost 100 pounds in 5 days. You know, they put me on a water pill, and I mean, I was just going. And the lymphedema took over. And it's like you have these things that they're variables of people not understanding what it is. And that's what I feel is that my mission is to educate people that here's what obesity, I'm not going to quit. Now, thinking about not quitting, what keeps you, have you ever wanted to give up? Yes or no?
No.
No?
No. I don't want to go back.
Okay, good.
To the 600.
That's good.
I remember the 600 pounds.
Listen to that, folks. He doesn't want to go back. That's a good reason right there. He doesn't want to go back. Okay, so quitting is not an option. Okay, as we're getting ready to land this, I want to sort of ask you about the quitting aspect. What is like a formula that you do to keep you from wanting to quit?
So honestly, quitting is not even in my vocabulary.
Now, so you don't even play with it. You don't even cut it out of your dictionary.
No. I had regained, but I'm not quitting.
Me too.
I also don't want to. I don't want to keep regaining because I don't want to have to go up clothes sizes again.
Sure, sure.
I stopped shopping at DXL for the most part. So I get most of my stuff at Kohl's now, and I was like, I don't want to go back to DXL because it's more expensive.
Yes.
That's such a trivial thing is like the cost of clothes, but having to go to DXL, it's not a big deal. A lot of people go there, they like it, but just for me, it's part of like in my own headspace that I don't want to do that. And so that's a part of it. And the other thing is like, I have a daughter now and I want to be there for her long term.
Right.
And like that way to do that is to keep losing weight. And then, just have to be more cognizant of what I'm putting in my mouth. That's a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's tough because sometimes you just want to have the stuff that you want to have and you don't want to think about it. And you're like, oh, hey, I want to go have that like Arby's large milkshake that is so good. But, maybe you only have that like once a month instead of having it like once every couple of days.
Right? And restriction is the worst thing for, it's a lifestyle. I had to cut the word diet out of my life, and even doing what I'm doing right now, I'm very, like I said, on what I eat and stuff, my appetite is very small now. I mean, it just is. I don't know what changed or whatever, but I'm thankful that it has been, but battling the lymphedema and the weight and the water weight and going through all these different things is that the struggles of saying, okay, now, like you said, I love that quitting is not an option. We have to cut it out of our dictionary and say, I'm not going to go out and I'm not going to quit regardless. And you said to your man, I don't want to go to DXL again. Yeah. I don't want to go to king size, direct to buy my clothes. And you have a lot of, You're doing it right, Brett. That's what I want to say, everybody. Listen, Brett's doing it right. You need to follow him on social media, Becoming Brett, and he puts some good stuff, and especially his podcast. What we're going to be more talking about that in a second here, but the fact that you're doing it right, Brett, and you have the mindset, you have the intrinsic motivation. You're going somewhere. I mean, you already been there, and you're going to reach your goals. And everyone needs the spirit of you. Just to be quite honest.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. Yeah, and it's always I always like this quote from The Dark Knight that it's always darkest just before the dawn.
It is.
Right. The night is always darkest before the dawn, and that's part of it because it's not easy when you're in the middle of it.
Nope.
Like it's not, and it's not meant to be easy.
No. So you're a big movie buff, then I take it because
I am.
So,
I am.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
So that's tough because there's so many.
I know.
So I will give you a five. I'll give you a fiver. Okay.
Give me a fiver.
So these are so no particular order, but usually Jaws is number one. Jaws, Godfather, Shawshank Redemption, Back to the Future, Jurassic Park. Those are my five favorite. They're not necessarily the best movies.
Okay, what about comedy?
Airplane.
That's it? No other ones?
Well, airplane's my number one. Christmas vacation.
Tommy Boy?
I was not a big Tommy Boy fan.
Oh, my goodness. You've got to be joking me.
I mean, I watched it multiple times.
I'm not
going to
put this.
I'm not a Chris Farley guy.
Come on, Brett.
I'm much more John Candy.
So you're talking about like the great outdoors, you know, summer rental.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah, Uncle Buck.
Cool running, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're in the Winter Olympics right now.
That's exactly right, man. So I can't believe that you're, man. I don't know if I.
Yeah, there's other comedies. I'm just top of my head. I'm trying to think what other ones.
Caddyshack.
I was a huge fan of Meet the Parents when that came out. Caddyshack's good. Yeah.
How about whatchamacallit with John Belushi? Animal House. Yeah.
Not a fan of that one.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not really into that one. It was also like it came out, you know, 5-6 years before I was born. So it was
so
I didn't see it till I was probably in my late teens.
So you're not a Belushi fan. That's what I could take it.
I like Blues Brothers.
Okay. Because you weren't a Farley fan, and I miss Chris Farley, man.
I was a big Jim Carrey fan.
Jim Carrey
and Adam Sandler.
Back
before Adam Sandler made bad movies, like back when he made good stuff.
You mean
like,
Billy Madison and stuff like that? Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
Happy Gilmore is like probably one of my favorites to watch.
But he's like a mega producer. He produces The Price Is Right. Did you know that?
Yes. I didn't know that.
Because Bob Barker was on Happy Gilmore, remember? And I think they turned into good friends. And of course, Bob, you know, was turning over Drew Carey's now, you know, for Price Is Right. But Adam Sandler he's worth a lot of money with all he produces.
Yeah, I know he has that huge Netflix.
Yeah, Grown Ups. You know what I'm saying? Grown Ups 2 was a little, you know, too boring to me. I mean, it just wasn't.
I didn't even see it.
Did you watch?
Grown Ups 1 was fine, but yeah, Grown Ups 2 I didn't even watch because Adam Sandler's movies have been so bad.
Yeah,
the
they have.
Five,
yeah,
10 years.
They have.
So I try not to watch it. I did watch when he did a serious one like 2 years ago about like he was like a pawn shop guy, and that was pretty good. But that was a serious role. It wasn't like a stupid comedy on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where he's like playing his sister as well at the same time.
I know. Oh my. Yeah. You can't. That's just. Yeah. There's no reason for that. You know what I mean? Or Little Nicky. Mm-hmm. I mean that got on my nerves too. I mean as well. But.
You know the one I liked of his.
What?
That came out later was Anger Management.
Yeah, Anger Management was good. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. But yeah, back his older movies were definitely better than what he's. You know, coming out with now, you know what I mean? So, but are you a Kevin James fan?
Not really. I like King of Queens.
Yeah, okay.
But I wasn't really into, I'm not been too into his movies
like
for the
Paul
most
Blart,
part.
You know?
Yeah, Paul Blart just was such a caricature of a person that I was just like, I felt like it was poking a little bit too much fun at those type of people that have those jobs and such. And I know that's a point, but it just was.
Oh, and
it was a little bit of fattertainment
fattertainment too in there because all fat people are, you know, security guards. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they do. That's all they can do and ride around on a Segway. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I mean, it's wrong. So here's what we're gonna do. We're getting ready to wrap this up. How can people find you? And you also have a podcast. It's becoming more podcasts. Mm-hmm. So where can people go? Everything will be in the show notes too. Follow Brett on Instagram, social, anywhere he's at. But how can people follow you and find out more about your story?
Okay, so you can listen to my podcast, Becoming More Podcast. We have 34 episodes that are out currently as of this recording. So it's Becoming More Pod on Instagram. You can check out my website, becomingbrett.com, which has links. It's a little outdated cause we had the baby, so I haven't been updating it as much as I should. And then I'm Becoming Brett on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I don't really post on TikTok or Twitter, but I have them and I have in the past posted videos on TikTok. I don't get much like interaction on it, and I'm just not into it. It's just too much work.
It's for a lot of work. Yeah, especially posting.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about
Reels. You have to post all the time. That's what you have to do. Just like the story, you know what I mean? Your Instagram story. Yeah. You have to keep that full 24 hours, you know?
Yeah, it's you know what? I don't get paid for it, so I just don't use? Do it. I mostly post memes.
Yeah,
if you follow me on Instagram, because I really can't take it seriously because the algorithm on Instagram is such
crap. It changes
crap
like yeah, it changes.
So I make posts and I get like 29 people that like it. So I don't.
Yeah, you're like hey,
sometimes I used to have like 250 or 300 people.
Yeah,
that like them.
Well, that's
so
why,
obviously my stuff isn't getting seen.
It changed. That's why, because they change it every time, or they'll shadow block you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's just because something else will get in the way, and it's a whole fiasco. But then figuring out the algorithm, then it comes, and you're getting it back, and all of a sudden just to lose it again. So yeah, it's pretty stupid. But here's what I want to ask you. Somebody's listening right now, okay? They don't know what to do. What is a major truth bomb, golden nugget that you could put out there right now to help them? They're on the edge of their seat. They don't know where to start. How could you tell them where to go?
So I would say look at anyone who has lost some weight, because there's plenty of people on social media you can find, okay, whether it's TikTok or on Instagram. See and scroll back on their timeline, because they're going to have old pictures where they were fatter if they've lost weight. And see what they were talking about when they started. Like go back. Good. You might take some time to go back in their timeline. Good. But go back in their timeline and see what they were saying when they were starting. Because most likely if they have videos or they have captions, they're going to say their frustrations and realize that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. It's not all, hey, all of a sudden I lost 300 pounds. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of patience, a lot of diligence. So you just got to make sure you're willing to put in the work. Because if you put in the work, it'll come.
Nice.
At some pace, and you'll get there.
Wow, Brett, yo. We had such a great episode, Brett. Thanks for being willing to put that out there. I mean, it's practical. You said, hey, I just did this. You know, not having you said, man, I quitting's not an option. It wasn't like, hey, you just like, okay, I'm so set, I can't quit. And that is powerful, Brett. I mean, that right there resonates with a lot of people, because you know some people quit every day, or they've quit and they don't know how to get back up. Let me ask you this: if I know quitting's not an option, hasn't been, what if somebody quit, they've gained weight, they were doing good and they were losing weight and they were doing great, but all of a sudden they got off, they fell off the horse and they didn't get back up? What could you say to encourage those people?
So I would say that, you know, I almost want to pull out we were talking about movies earlier, and I almost want to pull out the Rocky Balboa line
Mickey?
It's when he's talking to his son and he says you're talking about quitting and quitting's not you or something. I can't remember the line now. But basically is, you know, So you stopped or you quit or whatever, fine. You took a pause, because it's not, you didn't quit on your life.
Right.
And this is like a lifetime thing. And you're not going to be able to like just, oh, I quit, I'm done. Like, that's it, I give up. Like, maybe if you want to, it's the end and you know you're dying or something, that's different. But if you're not like a foot in the grave already, like, you should really think about what you want to do in life and what you want to be able to do and who you want to be able to be with. Cause like for me, I want to be around my daughter and, for a long time and not just here for a few years.
Right.
And just in the words of MC, in the words of MC Hammer, just be too legit to quit.
Stop. Hammer time. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun. Brett and I are going to be doing a dance. We got our parachute pants and stuff like that. We're going to do Too Legit to Quit and Hammer Time and whatever it takes. So That's a great song. That fires me up every time I hear it. That gets me motivated. But motivation it's intrinsic. I don't think, you know, you can't make motivation. People talk too much about motivation. And I think that I got to inspire. I can inspire people. I can't motivate anybody. And sometimes I don't even feel motivated. I just got to do it. But Brett, thank you, man, for being on this episode. And you're a rock star. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime, man. And Becoming Brett, follow him on all social media. Becoming More Podcast, Becoming More Pod is his Instagram for the podcast. You want to go out there and listen to the 34 episodes that he has. But Brett, thank you so much. And thank you for being an inspiration to me and everybody else. And thank you for where you've come from. And thank you for where you're going.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
You're
again.
Welcome, man. So on behalf of the Obesity Revolution, the whole Obesity Revolution team, remember, when you get healthy, stay healthy. And remember, you really are worth it. Don't let anybody take, I don't care if you're 6,000 pounds, your worth matters. And we need to be not body positive, but human positive. And as long as you had red blood running through your veins, if you're not dead, you're not done. And you respect people for who they are, especially the 30 million people in America that don't come out of their home, and the 650 million people worldwide, and you that are listening right now, get started today. Today. And until next time, I love you.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.